All right, Rabbi Sai, let's begin. So we have a beautiful, two beautiful pieces by the Rebbe tonight. I'm going a little bit out of order over here. So first we're going to start with Perek Lamites Pasuk Tes. So the Pasuk says, remember again, this is the episode with Yosef and Ishes Potiphar. So remember again a little bit of the context. So Yosef, it's only one page. So Yosef is sold into slavery. He's bought by Potiphar, who's one of the major advisors of Paro. And again, Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. Yosef resists an incredible display of moral fortitude. So Yosef goes ahead and displays incredible courage. So the Pasuk says, this is Perek Pasuk Tes. He says to her, Einenu gadol babayis azemimeni. She says to her, listen, your husband has entrusted me with everything, right? There's no one who's as important in the entire household as me. And your husband has not held anything back from me except you. In other words, I have access to everything in his home, his wealth, his honor, everything, except his wife is his. He says, At ba'asher at ishto, you're his wife. Ve'ich esa hara gedol azeh v'chatasi le'lokim. How could I do this terrible, evil thing and sin against God? So what's he say? Take a look at paragraph A. Rabbi Nachman says over in the Kuti Halacha something amazing. Ve'ich esa hara hazos hagdola. How could I do this terrible, bad thing? Ki Yaakov v'Yosef kechad chashivi. V'Yakov bebchinas mishpat, kimo shekasu av mishpat utzdak av Yaakov atasiso. V'al yideze zocha Yosef lamo b'nisayon gadol, v'lo pagam bebris. So this is actually very interesting. So there's this whole concept of Yaakov and Yosef being intertwined. Rabbi Nachman has this piece actually on the opening pasuk in the parasha. Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef. That the offspring of Yaakov is Yosef. So this idea that Yaakov and Yosef are intertwined. So the Rebbe understands this in a midastic way. That the midah of Yaakov is intertwined in Yosef. What was the midah of Yaakov? So Yaakov actually, interestingly enough, has a number of different midos. But amongst them was the midah of mishpat. Right? The midah of justice. Strict justice. Mishpat. So what happens? How was Yosef able to resist temptation? So the Rebbe posits through mishpat. What does that mean? That he was able to resist temptation because of mishpat? So he says something amazing. Ki ikar kevishas hayetzer zochin al yedei mishpat. Because everyone knows that the way to rein in your yetzer hara, whatever your inclination is through mishpat, is through justice. Justice or judgment, you're going to see what it means in just a moment. Al yedei, sometimes in life you have to judge yourself through yourself. Sometimes you have to think to yourself that it's just not a good idea to sin against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does so much good for you. And this is the God who, if you sin against him, he will ultimately exact judgment from you. Alakol kimosha amar Yosef az. So let's take a step back. What's bothering Rabbi Nachman in this pasuk? So we'll say, remember, if you go back to pasuk Tessa just a moment, what's happening over here? Eshes Potiphar makes an advance on Yosef. Yosef says to her, first, Vayimain, he refuses, which we'll discuss. And then he says to her, listen, I can't do this. I can't do this. Your husband trusts me. And so to go ahead and take advantage of that trust and have a relationship with you would be a betrayal of him. But then Yosef says, how could I do this terrible thing? V'chatasi le'lukim. I'll sin against God. So what is Rebbe bothered by? The first part of the pasuk, I understand why he's having this conversation with Eshes Potiphar. Right? Because what is he hoping to do? Think about this. What is he hoping to do? What do you think?
To the sweet.
I mean, he's appealing to her sensitivities also. It's your husband. It's your husband. This is not right. We can't do this. It would be me taking advantage of him, you taking advantage of him. We can't do it. But then he adds in this last part, how could I do this terrible thing? It'll be a sin against God. So that was like, why are you bringing up religion over here? Right? In other words, the first part of the argument, I could hear, say this to Eshes Potiphar, tell her this, and maybe you'll dissuade her. But you're going to put the rest, you're going to bring in the God argument with here? You know, everyone knows, generally, you try not to bring God into most arguments, right? Generally, not a good idea, especially if somebody does not subscribe to your same code of theology. It's just not going to be a winning argument. But yet, he brings in God. So says that it was something amazing. The first part of the Pasuk is Yosef talking to Eshes Potiphar, right? The first part of the Pasuk is Yosef talking to her and trying to dissuade her from engaging in this negative behavior. The second part of the Pasuk is Yosef talking to himself. How does Yosef convince himself not to sin? Right? How does Yosef convince himself not to sin? Right? Well, see, you hear this? A person is faced. Okay, no one knows what I'm talking about, but I'll describe what it's like to come in Navera. So meaning, a person is faced with a temptation. So how do you talk yourself off the ledge of temptation? That's what's happening over here. In the first part of the Pasuk, he's talking to Eshes Potiphar. He's trying to talk to her. We shouldn't do this. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. It's an affront to your husband. But how do I talk myself off the ledge? And I will say, I mentioned this in a different context. You know, you have to appreciate the Nisayon of Yosef. Right? Every man could appreciate this Nisayon. I'm sure Eshes Potiphar was a beautiful woman, powerful, wealthy. Who's Yosef? He's a no one. He's a no one in Egypt, right? He's got no relationships. He has no family. He has nothing. He's a slave. Here's a woman who I'm sure is very beautiful, well-connected, right? Could give him so much in life. This is not just like, sometimes you think that this is like a taiva thing, like a desire thing. Of course it's a desire thing. But it's also supposed to say what this offered for Yosef was a connection, a relationship, like someone else in my life with whom I could share something. I have no one. So how does Yosef resist that temptation? So the Rebbe says the answer is in that last part. Ve'ich esa haro hagedola hazos v'chatosi le'lokim. You know, Yosef says the Rebbe something amazing. Do you know how chet gets the best of me? When I allow emotion to reign over intellect. Right? That's how sin wins. Allow emotion, right? Desire is a function of emotion. Allow emotion to reign over intellect, and you make all kinds of bad decisions in life. So when I find myself on the cusp of sin, what's the first order of business? Reassert equilibrium. You need to bring intellect back into the picture. Right? Intellect once again has to re-enter, and intellect has to become a dominant feature in my decision. And we'll say, no, don't we have situations like this all the time? I mean, not like this, but don't we have situations like hate like this all the time where I do something, I say to myself, like, how did I even do that? How did I even allow myself to do that? And the answer was that I wasn't thinking. Right? That I was being reined by desire, by want, by emotion, and intellect left the building. So when faced with the prospect of sin, Yosef has to reinfuse intellect. What's the intellect? Ki eich esa haro hagedol hazos. This is wrong. Now, I'll say, why does he have to say it's wrong? Because you know we have an incredible ability. What's the incredible ability? Incredible ability to rationalize things. I told you, the human mind is so powerful. I could take something that in the beginning is unequivocally usser. We know this progression. First it's usser. Then what's the next step? I'm sure there are opinions who say that it's not usser, right? The next opinion, the next stage is, I really like those opinions who say that it's not usser. The more I think about it, I think it actually might be mutter. And if you're very talented, by the end of this process, mamish, not only is it mutter, but I think it's a mitzvah. I think it's the Ratzon HaBorei that I do this kind of thing. And like, we laugh at it now, but I will say, we convince ourselves of some pretty wild stuff. And we act on this type of idea. So the first thing Yosef does is, Eich esa haro hagidola hazos. This is wrong. It's important for me to be clear on what's right and what's wrong. I will say, if you notice again, over the last number of weeks, we've seen this theme in Rabbi Nachman, that so many of the mistakes we make in life are because our barriers between right and wrong are eroded. You know, there is some gray in life, but a lot of life is black and white, right? And a lot of life is clear, this is right, this is wrong. But I have to be able to set those boundaries. If I don't, that's the gateway to all types of negative behaviors. So the first thing Yosef does is bring the intellect back in and asserts, Eich eseh hara hagidola hazos. It's wrong. And I can't justify it. I have to remind myself that as much as I want this, it is absolutely, unequivocally wrong. Bring intellect back in. Furthermore, what does he say? V'chatasi le'lokim. V'chatasi le'lokim means what? That if I do this, I'm going to derail my plans for myself in life. I have a plan for myself in life. There are things I want to do. There are things I want to accomplish. There are things I want to be. But in order to get to that finish line, in order to get to that destination, I have to make the right decisions. If I make the wrong decisions, then at the end of the day, those derail me from life. So look back at the Rebbe for just a moment. Right before paragraph C, he says, "Ve'ich eseh hara gadol tzchutas elokim ba'yidei zeh, kavash es yitzro, umame es atzma min ha'avera." Through this two-pronged statement, Yosef was able to rein in his desires and restrain himself from sin. Ki zeh ikar ha'mishpat, sha'adam tzarech lishpot es atzmo. People say all of life is self-judgment, self-assessment. Dainu, sheyishpot es atzmo tamid, eich roi lo lihisnai b'chol yom b'yom. I have to ask myself, how should I be behaving in this situation? What should I do? How should I behave? What's the proper mahalich? Ubifrat, kishebali de'iz in isona mishkal sheyetzer mesiso le'iza taiva omidora. Especially when you come to a point where I'm being challenged, right? I'm being pulled into the web of desire, into some type of negative midah or something bad. She'az ikra ha-mishpat she'tzarech lishpot es atzmo imkach ra'ui lo la'asos. I have to ask myself the simple fundamental question, is this the right thing to do? Is this the right thing to do or not? So first, Yosef appeals to Eshes Potiphar's sensitivities, tells her, it's not right, it's your husband, it's not right for you, it's not right for me. But let's say, I think what the Rebbe is describing over here is what happens after he finishes talking to Eshes Potiphar. You can imagine this. Well, so imagine you're in this position, right? So you have, so there's this woman, right? A beautiful, powerful woman. She's desirous for you. You say, you know what? We can't do this to your husband. So what's the next step in that process usually? Nobody wants to say, right? Right? But you know what? But, you know, your husband's a jerk, right? He's a jerk. He doesn't appreciate you, right? He's not a nice guy. He mistreats me. He does this. And suddenly, again, the argument that I just made, I could see, you know, it's Svedinen, right? I could see that maybe, you know, two different aspects of it. Yosef, says the Rebbe, feels himself slipping. After he asserts this voice of moral clarity to Eshes Potiphar, he feels himself slipping. And so what does he do? He says, I need to grab back the reins. I need to judge myself. So what does he say? Again, Eich eseh hara hagdol, it's wrong. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. There's no two ways about it. There's no two sides of the coin. There's not like, well, let's look at it from this way, let's look at it from that way. There's no discussion. There's no discussion. It's unequivocally wrong. There are certain things that are just clearly wrong. This is one of them. And if I do this, v'chatasi le'lokim, I will derail my dreams and aspirations for myself. I want to be a certain kind of person. I want to live a certain kind of life. I want to be in a certain ramah. I want to be on a certain level in life. And if I do this, this will fundamentally derail me. But see, you hear this level of self-awareness that a person A is able to assess what's right and what's wrong, and that a person is able to assess that if I do this, and we'll say all things in life, pull you in one of two directions. Closer to the person you want to be, or further from the person you want to be. There's nothing that's pariv, right? There's nothing that's just neutral. Everything pulls you in one direction or another. So Yosef says, let me assert, number one, it's wrong. It's wrong. And if I do this, the chait will derail me from doing the thing that I want to. Suppose you understand? Because you know what the Rebbe's real shaila on all of this is? Why does the Torah even need to tell me this? Right? It's such a personal story. Such a personal story. You know, the Gemara even goes into so much greater detail with this story about Yosef even being so close to sinning. Why do you have to tell me this? Because I will say, Yosef is modeling for us how to deal with temptation. How do you deal with temptation in life? And the answer is, first establish for yourself, articulate to yourself what's right, what's wrong. And then understand that if I fall prey to my desires and wants, okay, we're human beings, we all make mistakes, but at the end of the day, it will derail me from doing the things that I want to do. And if I make those bad decisions, I won't become the person I want to be. And I have dreams and aspirations for myself. I want to go places in life. And these bad decisions hold me back. So the irony over here is you have a Chassidish Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, telling you to do what? To reassert the intellect over emotion. Right? It sounds very, very brisker. Right? You know, Rabbi Soloveitchik said that his father, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Tov HaLevi Soloveitchik's father was Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav, Rabbi Yosef Tov, the Rav, said his father never told him he loved him. His father never told him he loved him. So the Rav said, I knew my father loved me very much, but in Brisk, we didn't speak about emotion. In Brisk, we didn't speak about. He says that when Rav Moshe Soloveitchik came to America, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik came to be the Rosh Hashiva at Shiva Sabino Yitzchak Al-Khan, later on Yeshiva University. He came to be Rosh Hashiva. So the Rav said goodbye to his father at the train station in Berlin. And Rabbi Soloveitchik is told over, he said, when I said goodbye to my father, we shook hands. So you understand what that means? Like, they had no idea if they were ever going to see each other again. They shook hands. But amazing enough, Rabbi Soloveitchik says, I knew my father loved me very much. I knew that he loved me. It's just that in Brisk, there was no expression of emotion. Intellect was king. Emotion is weakness. So obviously, Chassidus comes along and balances that message just a little bit. And says, no. Emotion is not weakness. Emotion is powerful. Unchecked emotion is weakness, because unchecked emotion then opens the door for all types of reckless, even immoral activity. So what's happening over here is Yosef, we see about to be carried away by his passions and wants, brings back the intellect, reasserts categories. There's right, there's wrong. Ishis Potiphar, wrong. Let me be clear, wrong. And furthermore, a recognition that everything I do has a long-term impact on me, brings me closer to who I want to be, or further I want to be. But also, let me show you one more piece, and with this we'll stop. Go to paragraph E for just a moment. So the Rebbe makes one more observation here, which I think is truly incredible as well. In paragraph E, so this is going on the Pasuk, this is going back a Pasuk, in Pasuk Ches. So the Pasuk says, Vayima'ein. And I will say, even Vayima'ein, so remember again, if you look at that, the trup over there, is a shalshelas, right? That's the three times. So some of the Rishonim point out that even that vayimain, the shalshelas, back and forth, is often a lashon of like unable to be decisive, hesitation. Right? We where else do we see the shalshelas? By Eshes Lot, right? Eshes Lot vayismama. They tarried. In Shmos, you see it. Chayisara, you see it. And whenever you see it, there's always an element of hesitation on the part of the person. So we'll say, so again, what Solokrit the Rebbe says, and this is incredible, but yet Yosef refuses. So you'll see, the psukim are out of order, but I think thematically it works better to do it like this. So here, in the first piece we saw, Yosef asserting intellect over emotion, establishing clear right and clear wrong, and recognizing that what he chooses will have an impact on the person he becomes. Look at the next part that Rebbe says, and this is incredible. Here's the power, Rebbe Osai, of resisting temptation, negative temptation. Achshov, benokel Yosef lamo ben Yisrael. So the Rebbe makes an amazing statement. He says, everyone knows that today, it's much easier to stand up to an Yisrael. The Rebbe says, Rabbi Nachman says, yeah, I guess there wasn't all that much happening in Uman, right? But like I said, everyone knows today, it's much easier to stand up to Nisayon. To attest, why? Where does that come from? Ki harishonim sha'amdu minisayon, kevar shavru kol kach klipa hazo shel taivazu. Because well, so here's what happens. Listen to his words. Because in previous generations, when I have an ancestor who stood up, who passed the Nisan, who overcame a certain test and overcame a certain desire, he created almost a spiritual resiliency that is embedded in my spiritual DNA that makes it easier for me to overcome that very Nisayon. Ad she'achshav b'kal, yicholun lamo b'nisayon. These are words that are very incredible. Till today, it's very easy to overcome the Sionos, right? Very easy to overcome challenges. Va'afilu ish pashat legamrei, even the simplest of people, yachol achshav la'amo b'nisayon, Very easy for even the simplest of people to stand up even to the most intense of tests. Now, Rabbi Nachman hung out with a good chevra, most probably, right? The Pashas, I don't know if this applies, but you'll see his logic is something incredible. See, he creates this idea that it's easier for us to stand up to certain challenges. Why? Because we already, it's almost like Lamashal. It's the same way that, like, if you're exposed to people who are sick and you get sick, so as much as it's not fun to get sick, what happens? It builds up your immunity. Right? So that's what the Rebbe is describing over here. When my ancestor was faced with a nisayon and overcame that nisayon, he created a certain level of sin immunity. That sin immunity is passed down in the DNA to me, so that I can now overcome certain nisyonos with greater ease because previous generations already stood up to this particular challenge. Akin Amr Rav Sinis Chorom Levracha, Takfal Shal Yosef, An Visanuso Shal Boaz, Takfal Shal Boaz, An Visanuso Shal Palti Ben Layish. Paragraph F, Ki Tokef Hanisayon Shal Yosef Atzadik, Haya Davar Kal Upashet Eitzal Boaz, Shayach. This is incredible. What's the link between Yosef and Boaz? So remember again, they both, right? They're both children of Yaakov Avinu. What is the Nisayon of Boaz? What is that referring to? When Rus laid down by his feet in the granary at night. And what does Rus say to Boaz? I mean, it's a wild pasuk. What does Rus say to Boaz there in the middle of the night in the granary? Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. What? I mean, for a man not to take advantage of this young woman who is willing to be compliant with whatever, where do you summon up moral courage like that? Where do you summon that up? So the Rebbe says, Boaz got it from Yosef. Yosef refused Eshes Potiphar, thereby building up a certain level of spiritual immunity. And therefore, again, that immunity is passed on to Boaz. And Boaz said, that's why even in Megillas Rus, like, you don't even see any level of struggle in Boaz, right? You don't even see, like, here by Yosef, you see struggle, the Vayimain, the Shalshalas. By Boaz, there's no struggle. So how could that be? There's no struggle. A beautiful young woman lies down at your feet in the middle of the night. He's a widower. Remember, he's not a married man. His wife passed away, right? He's not married. This young single girl comes, lays down at feet. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. How do you stand up to a nisayon like that? Takfo shal Boaz, strength of Boaz comes from the strength of Yosef. Yosef did it, created a certain level of, like, almost spiritual antibody, spiritual immunity, and that girded Boaz with this strength. V'chein tokef haniseon shaboaz, hayakal upashet etzal palti be'alti palti ben layish. Ki komi shahaya acharon, yoser haniseon kalas lo yoser. Whoever, the later you are, the easier the nisyonos become. I just want to point out how different this is than the way we normally think about things, right? We normally assume, like, niskatnu hadoros, the generations diminish in piety as time goes on. Yet what the Rebbe is saying is the nisyonos are easier for us now because each subsequent generation is filled with the spiritual strength of the generation before. Ba'al kein, achshav binakel na'amol la'amol b'nisayon, afilu ish pashat agamre. That's how the Rebbe says, everyone knows that today it's very easy for a person to stand up to a nisayon because why? I have all the strength of the previous generation. So we'll say, I don't know that it's easy. I don't know that we'd all have to agree with the Rebbe's assessment of that. We'll say, but hey, something amazing. This is the continuation. You see in Chilek Aleph, in the first part of this, what did the Rebbe teach us? The Rebbe said that in order to save yourself from sin, which I will say is a challenge we all encounter every single day, step number one is reassert intellect over emotion. How do you reassert intellect over emotion? Number one, identify for yourself objective categories of good and wrong, good and evil, bad and good, correct, incorrect, and make those categories clear. Number two, recognize actions never happen in a vacuum. Whatever you do will have an impact on the person you want to become. And if you make bad decisions, it derails you from getting to the finish lines you want to cross. And what's the power of standing up in Nisan Abu Sain? That understand, when you stand up for Nisan, when you stand up to Nisan, when you overcome a challenge, you're doing two things. Number one, Abbasu, what the Rebbe is talking about over here is you're giving power to future generations. But if you're giving power to future generations, then it goes without saying that what? Look what you're doing for yourself. every time you find the strength to overcome any sayon, to overcome a particular challenge in life, it doesn't mean the challenges stop coming. The challenges never stop coming. Never stop coming. They stop coming when you're dead, right? But they never stop coming. But the difference is that the more you stand up and overcome your challenges, the greater the resiliency that you build up for yourself. And something else, when you overcome any sayon abosai, we often think that our nisyonos, right? I encounter whatever the challenge is in life, and I overcome that challenge, we often think that's just our success. You know what the Rebbe is saying, Abosai? When you're faced with an nisayon, and you overcome that nisayon, you are giving your children greater koach. You're giving your spouse greater koach. You're giving future descendants of yours greater koach. The same way that many of us pass our nisyonos today, not because of koach that I have within, but koach that I inherited from previous generations who stood up to their nisyonos. So when I stand up to a nisayon in life, and I pass, and I'm able to overcome a desire, or a want, or something illicit, not only do I make myself stronger, but I ultimately pass down that strength to future generations as well, right? Isn't every single parent concerned about what can I do for my kids? I just want to make sure my kids are taken care of, right? So I'm going to have a will, and I'm going to have life insurance, and I'm going to send them to school, and I'm going to make sure they don't hang out with the wrong kids, and I'm going to try, right? I'm going to do all this stuff. And what we don't realize sometimes is, you know what the best thing you could do for your children? Work on your ruchnius. Work on your ruchnius. The stronger you make yourself, the more you build up the spiritual DNA of your children. The more nisyonos you're able to overcome, the greater the koach you embed within them to overcome their nisyonos as well. Shkoyach. Hanukkah, Yona, are you here next week? No, you're in New York. Yeah, you're in New York. Yeah, you're going to.